It's fine to be afraid, but you have to notice how else it's affecting your life. If it starts to hold you back from becoming your best self and keeps you shelled up, then that's a problem, right?
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from Romania, even though he is Canadian. I've got Mike Corey in the house. Mike, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am so ready. Let's do it.
So Mike has got an interesting story. Literally, Unconventional Lifers, as I was waiting to do this interview, I was watching him get buried alive up to his neck on a beach and spending the night there. He is the creator of this own YouTube channel called Fearless and Far, which really takes, you know, the element of being outside your comfort zone, travel, and making it accessible in a way to keep, you know, pushing adventure, keep pushing travel. And, you know, I know as a Canadian adventure traveler, YouTuber, you've been a BBC television host, and you've been traveling the world the last 8 years. And it all started, you know, with your degree in marine biology. And then, you know, you went to school and you were like, all right, I'm going to go out and travel, and have really made a lifestyle for yourself, you know, both with the show, with traveling, but really also storytelling at the heart of it, and how to take, you know, action, but how to do it in a way that actually touches people, and, you know, breaking down cultural barriers, connecting with locals, all the different things that us at Unconventional Life love to do. So, well, excited to welcome you to the show, fill in any gaps that I might have left out, and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, well, if it's the unconventional life, I kind of had a bit of an unconventional start, because how it really all started was a fear of public speaking, a phobia of public speaking, actually, which is quite crazy, because now, as you said, my full-time job is to talk to people, talk to cameras, talk to television, all these different things. Adventure travel YouTuber and BBC television host, both those things are my full-time career. So I speak I do the thing that I was absolutely most terrified to do for most of my life. And that's why the alias is Fearless and Far, is because I've had this strange dance with fear my entire life. And it's not always been pretty. I've stepped on our toes a lot over the years, but we get along pretty well now. And I really enjoy talking about it. I really love sharing my story, because I feel like fear is something in our lives that we're never given a toolkit how to deal with it. We're supposed to throw it away as we grow up. And this, you know, there's no more monster under the bed, but fear doesn't go away. It starts to manifest itself in different ways. And through travel and through some ups and downs and right and left hooks, as life does sometimes, I was able to turn that phobia into a career, which would on paper seem like the absolute last thing that would ever happen. But I contribute that to, I think, a lot of my success is because I knew I was horrible at something. So I jumped into it, which was a very unnatural thing to do. But I was at the point of desperation. We can get into that later. And I tried to do something crazy and uncharacteristic, and it turned up being good at it, even though I thought I was horrible. It's funny, though, sometimes the things you're scared of or your things you're bad at, you're only bad at because you've never actually really tried, you know, or you had something happen when you were a kid or some other traumatic experience in a relationship or something. And all of a sudden that, you know, that's not for you. Oh, I don't do that. But reality is, if you actually try to do something, it's amazing what you can do sometimes. And that's my story. It all started with just being a scaredy cat for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so counterintuitive, I think, to how many of us have been raised, like, oh, I'm afraid of something. Yeah, let me like double down and like build a career off of it. And I knew, you know, that you also recently launched this course, which Unconventional Lifers, we've got an epic giveaway coming up at the end of the episode, where you actually dive into the last 10 plus years of how you've worked with fear. So if fear has been an edge for some of you listening, stay tuned for that. But, you know, I also know, you know, with what you've done, like, at what point, you know, you went to school, you know, grew up in Canada, you went into marine biology, and now, you know, you're doing literally the opposite. Like, take us into that moment, you know, which I don't necessarily know what it was like in high school, or if you're a fly on the wall, or what we would have seen growing up, But when you were like, you know what, I'm going to go do something different. And like what, you know, if we were a fly on the wall in the room with you, or even in your mind, you know, what that period of your life was like when that decision got made, and, you know, yeah, give us a glimmer into that.
Yeah. Well, if you were a fly on the wall, you would have seen a guy who kind of felt out of place and then had some problems in life, as life does, brings you challenges, and then kind of being forced into a trip that he didn't necessarily want to take, and that kind of all unfolded from there. So basically, yeah, like I said, I wasn't always a big fan of public speaking, actually, the complete opposite. And that carried with me for a long time. And then eventually I was in university doing biology. I've always loved animals. I was always very curious. And then what happened is I had like a trifecta of terrible stuff happen, but just like normal life stuff. There was a car crash, breakup, and some other things, and left me like on my back foot, where I didn't know what to do. And I just didn't feel like life was cut out for me. I didn't really understand what I was trying to say, but I just knew things weren't going well. And so when people get backed into corners like that, I think there's two ways to think about it. And this is the only thing, if I'm a natural at one thing in my life, it's being able to look for an opportunity when there's a tragedy. I mean, tragedy is part of the human experience. We can't avoid it. Even if you sit in your house your entire life, it's still going to happen to you. You know what I mean? And so even if things feel so grim and out of your control, I really think like opportunities are like ghosts, that if you really do believe in them and you search for them, then you can find them. They're always there, even when in the darkest day. And so there was a couple of times in my life where I was, again, like on my back foot against the rails, not knowing where to do. And I just kind of had my antennas tuned differently. And so I took a trip originally, even though I was terrified, absolutely terrified to go solo. And I was kind of, let's say, tricked into it because I had a friend who was supposed to go with me, and then they bailed last minute and I had to go on the plane by myself. And I was so scared, but then I had the time of my life. And then fast forward a few years later and some other ups and downs, I ended up getting a flesh eating disease, great times. And that put me on the back foot again. And then an opportunity came up where to make a video. And I was like, no, I don't make videos. I'm so scared to be okay. Like I just, it was a video for a travel competition. But again, I was in this place where I kind of feel like when you're in these dark places, as we all are sometimes, there are things that come your way. And so there was this friend that was pestering me to make a video for this travel competition, but I had to speak on camera, and it was like, it was not for me. It was the last thing I wanted to do. I was bad at it, right? But I was in this place where I was like, it just kept on coming up in my face. So I did it, and it worked. I mean, I wasn't good at it. It took me 47 takes to say my name correctly. Because it's weird. It's so weird to talk to yourself. It's so weird just to talk in general, right? Like, especially to a camera, there's no person there. So And the thing is, when you do one good take and 47 crappy takes, people only ever see the good take. And so they call you a natural. And so that's the second time in my life where I did something that felt so deeply uncomfortable, and that it wasn't me, but I was for some reason tuned into an opportunity that, again, I wasn't natural at. But then I taught myself that, hey, wait a second, after two exposures to these negative things, and I did something so uncharacteristic that I was scared of, terrified of, it actually put me leaps and bounds forward in personal growth and happiness and changing me for the better. And so I realized something like, wait a second, this fear response that I have has been lying to me my entire life. It hasn't been telling me the truth. It's been holding me back. It's been the number one thing keeping me stuck and making me feel unhappy, is this fear response that's so overtuned. And then, so I started to be like, well, like, what else do I think I know, but I don't know, that I'm scared of? And so I started to travel more and find a lot of these experiences, like even like bungee jumping and scuba diving and all these other activities that your brain screams, no, no, no. But if you look at it logically, like these are, you know, you go with a professional, do the course, or, you know, get the knowledge, do it safely, don't do it recklessly, and it's fine. And so I made a whole travel style out of that. We talked about burying myself in sand for 24 hours, which sucked, by the way. But again, I'm not gonna die. You know, the worst thing, a dog comes over, pees on my head, and it's kind of icky. But at the end of the day, these experiences that make me a dog came over, but I yelled at it and it went away. It didn't even know I was a person. So I had a big straw hat on and the dog came over to pee on this what he thought was probably a coconut. And I yelled at it and it sprinted away, thoroughly shocked. But yeah, so that's it. That's my travel style. Finding these things that I think I'm afraid of, or I am afraid of, and diving in, because I've learned, again, a while ago, that your fear response is a good, maybe sometimes a good source of advice, but advice from fear and advice from other people, sometimes you take it, but most times you don't. It's not always not always speaking from experience, right? It's not always good advice. And yeah. So I've developed a whole travel style out of it.
Absolutely. And Unconventional Life Fears, we'll put the YouTube and also the Instagram to check out in our show notes so you can watch some of the videos if you haven't seen them or are not familiar with them. But I want to talk, Mike, a little bit about like what you've learned about fear. And I know you've hinted at it a little bit, but particularly for some of our listeners, you know, that are facing fear. And even if we look at the time of COVID, right? And being in America or an American, you know, I know you're Canadian, but it's like election time. And, you know, fear is definitely a narrative and for, you know, good reason to some degree. But also, I think, you know, it's more in people's faces, I think, in a way that it hasn't been globally. And, you know, how do you recommend working with fear? Or is there a process that you go through in yourself, you know, as you experience, you know, these different things on your show, or as you experience these different chapters in your life that you could recommend to our listeners to maybe look at or look from?
Yeah, the sneaky thing about fear, though, is that it can manifest itself in all sorts of ways in our lives that aren't as obvious as fear of heights, or, you know, these things that seem to scream at you as soon as you get close to them, like little things like jealousy and prejudice and anger. And these are all fears too. They're fears of losing control. There are fears that you're not good enough. There's fear of losing something. Fear is sneaky, especially when you're older, because it can manifest itself in all sorts of very quiet, malicious ways. And then it starts to pull the strings of your life. It affects your decisions. It affects, you know, who you speak to, whether you go ask for that promotion, whether you go talk to that guy or girl at the bar. Like, a lot of things are affected by fear. And especially 2020 has been a very fearful year for all of us. And fear, I can't say fear is a bad thing. It's just a thing we have to recognize how it's playing with us. Fear is such a human, natural human thing. It's unbelievable. Fear is why we're here today. We're a prey animal. We don't have any fangs or wings or talons. You know, we're these squishy meat bags that seem to have like a bigger brain in our heads that can, I guess, manipulate some tools. But at the end of the day, we don't have the armor and the weaponry that some of the animal kingdom has. So we've always had to have a overtuned fear response. Think about it. Like the if there's a human who doesn't fear anything and a human that's very fearful and they're out in the woods and there's a saber-toothed tiger around, the person who's ready to run at a drop of a hat is going to live longer than the person who's nonchalant walking through the forest, right? So fear's helped us stay alive. It's very, very human. So it's not unnatural to feel fear. And I think that's what happens to a lot of us, is we do feel fear, and then we sometimes get afraid of being afraid, especially when we're doing these things that maybe have a little bit of a phobia about. Or like for me, it was public speaking. And I remember I would feel the fear, and then I'd get afraid of being afraid. I'd be like, oh no, it's happening again. And then, you know, then it's panic. It turns into panic attack and anxiety attack. And that's what used to happen. But once you start to tease out the why and the logic, and the last thing fear likes is logic, because it works purely on emotion. And emotion is a very powerful thing. I mean, obviously we love emotion. That's why we watch Jerry Springer and all this kind of shit, right? But but it doesn't help you make good decisions. And it's not how you should be making decisions. If you start to use logic with fear often starts to become dismantled, because again, it's natural to have a high-tuned fear response. We have to understand why it's firing and then take that advice or leave that advice. And so this year with COVID and the elections and all this stuff, it's fine to be afraid, but you have to notice how else it's affecting your life. If it starts to hold you back from becoming your best self and keeps you shelled up, watching the news in a dark room, eating ice cream and Doritos, then that's a problem, right? There's a way to walk alongside it where your friends, not man or woman versus fear. The course we spoke about in the beginning is called the War on Fear Bootcamp, because it really sometimes does feel like a war, because it's so natural for us to be afraid, but we have to learn how to deal with it on a more of a friendship level instead of an enemy level, right? You really have to fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. And Unconventional Lifers, we'll talk about that shortly after our rapid fire round, that giveaway, that course, which we talked about in the beginning as well. But, you know, Mike, my last question for you, you know, on this particular part, you know, and all the things that you've done, I know, you know, your show isn't just about, you know, we talked about this right before we turned on the recording here, but just about like doing crazy stuff. It really does have a mindfulness to it. And I think you've been talking about this. It's like the more you show your brain different experiences, the new brain patterns that can then take place and be like, it isn't this like incredibly terrifying thing. Here's like new data point and new data point and new data point. And as you've been doing that, you know, upgrading your programming is maybe what I'll call it. Anything that you can share about that process particularly, and, you know, why your show, like, what do you think people tune in from with your show, and any like particular moment that you remember, like the level of experiences on conventional libraries, like there's so many videos that jumps out to you. You know, that you really felt like you met your edge with.
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think people do. I mean, my content's not for everybody. Let's be honest. There's some stuff on there that, again, I do the things that are very shocking. And I guess a prime example, and this is going to be shocking. It always is. It was shocking for me. Don't think this is a normal thing that I recommend or would ever do again. But I had a friend of mine who. I used to have a piercing on my like a goatee kind of piercing on my lower lip, but like below it's called lebre. Anyway, but when I went in to get that piercing a while ago, a long time ago, the girl who did it, we followed each other on Instagram and we kept in touch because she was pretty cool. Anyway, years later, after the piercing fell out and all that kind of stuff, and I grew up a little bit, I was still following her on Instagram and I was seeing this thing that was body suspension. Like people hanging by hooks. And I was like, what the F is this? And so these little captions that are like, oh, well, you know, beautiful suspension today, really worked on my problems. Oh my God, can't wait to do it again. And I'm like, you can't wait to do it again? What? It was just so batshit crazy for me. I just couldn't, like, what do you mean? That's something that would be from a horror movie that, you know, why would you ever voluntarily sign up to do something like that? Anyway, and I guess I'm telling you this story because it's a bit of a prime example of how I think about a lot of things, countries, events that I visit and experience in my life. And so when I saw this and I had to ask her, I'm like, what, why, how, dude? And so she started to talk about it. And she's like, oh, you know, it's a very powerful thing. Yeah, it's shocking. But you go up there and you really feel like everything negative is being extracted out of you. And you have to really try it to really experience it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even imagine trying it. And she goes, well, like, you know, like if you ever want to come, I was like, what? And I just got shocked. And I'm like, well, is it safe? Like, and she's like, well, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is, you know, so let's say they fall out or you're too heavy and there's a bit of a tear, but like, that doesn't happen. Like it doesn't happen. Your skin is remarkably strong, apparently. And then also this story is so funny. Anyway. But it was misunderstood. And she's like, it's safe. The worst thing that's going to happen, you're going to have a little bit of a scar. Worst case scenario. And she's like, you already have tattoos. And so the most dangerous thing would be that, or maybe, you know, getting an infection because it's piercings, but they all work at a tattoo studio. So at the end of the day, it's like the most dangerous thing about it was just the drive to the studio because you can die in a car crash. Actually, statistically, that's really dangerous. And so here I am presented with this decision with this thing. And this is Mike, Mr. Fearless and Far, who does the things that, you know, people don't understand because they actually are safe and they're just misunderstood, presented with like the ultimate challenge of this. And so I looked at myself and I was like, oh God, because I knew what had to happen next. And now I don't recommend anybody ever do it, but it was a beautiful story of like this misunderstood thing that is so viscerally shocking that was actually a beautiful story that I tried to tell of what they do and how they really get benefits out of it. And at the end of the day, I didn't want people to go out there and hang themselves by hooks, but I wanted people to understand that a lot of things in life, again, people, places, countries, activities, all of this, most of which we judge immediately are just misunderstood. And that goes back so far in my life. I was thinking about this just recently. I always loved snakes and spiders and salamanders and lizards because I felt they were misunderstood. People judge them on face value and they've only seen the shocking stuff. They only saw the Nat Geo top 10 deadliest snakes. And that was their only reference points. When are you ever presented a snake in a fun, healthy way, right? The thing is like people have phobias of snakes, but it's never the people who grew up in a household where the family had a pet snake and every, you know, day they took it out and they watched a movie with it. No, those people aren't afraid of snakes because they know snakes are fine. It's the person who had the snake thrown at them by their brother, you know, out in the sand lot or something, because they have only negative data points about it. So in my entire life, I've always really found that the more you learn about something, the less scary it gets. And that applies to this crazy experience that there's also a YouTube video about, if you would like to watch it. I understand maybe you don't, but at the same time, like I lived in Mexico City for 2.5 years for the very same reason. I went down there and everyone said it was crazy and dangerous. And I absolutely thought it was one of the most incredible travel experiences of my life. I loved it there. So I lived there for a while. And that's exactly the same thing. I think a lot of things in this world are misunderstood, even your fears. Fear of public speaking, fear of heights. It's mostly because you don't actually understand what's happening. You don't understand why it's there. You don't understand what's happening in your body. Don't understand where it came from. All you know is that equals bad. That equals terror. And knowledge is the antidote to all of that. Knowledge teases out logic. All of these things teases open this all-consuming response we have to some of these things. Most of them, when you start to look underneath the covers, are just like the monster under the bed. You're like, oh, actually, you know what? There's nothing there. It's just me and all my preconceptions and preconceived notions of what I thought it was. But in reality, it's none of those things. And that's what I get passionate about is demystifying these freaky, weird, gross things in life and showing people that, you know, maybe they're pretty cool. Maybe you don't have to do it again or do it all the time, but at least like understand that, yeah, you know, snakes are cool or something like that, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I love that. What was going through your mind when you were hanging on the hooks? Like, were you like,
I like how we're still, I've got a bit self-conscious. I'm like, telling that story. But the funny thing is when I tell that story, Jules, everybody gets fascinated because it's so like, what? And that was my response. In the beginning, I was never like, oh my God, yes. I was like, what? This is insane. But I did it again, mostly to prove to myself that like I am the brand. Like, so hey, Mr. Mike, you talk so big, here's your ultimate test kind of thing. But anyways, I don't know what to tell you. It hurts a lot, but it was beautiful. Everything they said about it, how it feels, just like an emotional pulling of just all of the negative energy, the hurt, the suffering, whatever struggles we have as human beings on this planet, the strife of the human experience just gets pulled out of you. Maybe it's just like your fascia and tendons and all your body parts. But at the end of the day, it feels that way. And if it feels that way, it might as well exist. I mean, that's placebo effect is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much science to it at the end of the day, as far as this body suspension thing, but it makes you feel pretty damn good after. I it was a 2-hour drive and I drove the entire way home with no music in the dark, just like thinking about life. I just felt lighter. I felt some kind of catharsis that I'd never experienced before. Again, would I do it again? Nope. But I understood why they do it. And what I wanted to do with the video was hopefully share that. And again, demystify this spooky thing that people judge. And I understand why people judge them, but again, tease into why. Why, like, is there anything behind it? And it turned out that there definitely was. There definitely was.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we're going to jump into our rapid fire on unconventional lifers. We're going to talk about that awesome giveaway shortly after that. Mike, I've got some lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Hit me.
All right. Question numero uno, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I love dancing immensely. I'm the first one to dance floor every time.
You also are pretty good at it. I looked at some of your breakdancing. He's also a breakdancer. We can talk about that. Maybe it'll be a part two at some point. I love that. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
Oh, that's a great question. I forever have been obsessed with stretching. I don't exactly know why it stuck. I used to be a fencer, like sword fencing, for a very long time, about 10 years. Then I did breakdancing for a while. But for whatever reason, just taking some time at the end of the day to sit down and just with like some music and the darkness and just bend your body, for whatever reason, that feeling I get from it just seems to just cleanse the palate. I travel with the yoga mat actually for that specific reason, to be able to stretch. But that really helps me deal with a lot of things in life. And in this travel lifestyle, I have a few things that I bring with me. I have a tea thermos that I can make tea in. I have my yoga mat, and those, like, I, whoever, where I go, I can still ground and have that with me. So, I don't know what it is, taking that time, that 30 minutes at the end of the day, or sometimes it's 10, just to prioritize some me time and stretching, whatever reason that is, it does me a world of good. I sleep better. I think better. Everything's better.
Awesome. I love that. Next question. What is your gear setup on the road? I know that you're obviously a videographer. You're filming a lot. What do you use? I know in some videos I've seen that ring light, but yeah, give us a quick little bird's eye on some of the gear setup for that you do for capturing.
Yeah. So I've learned very quickly that if you travel the way I do, you break a lot of stuff. So by breaking a lot of stuff, I've learned not to always get the best stuff, but at the same time, I think I've nailed down my gear to be like, as far as value goes and as far as what I'm able to capture. Before being a full-time YouTuber, I was a full-time filmmaker. So I really know my stuff when it comes to gear and filming and all this kind of photography and videography, both of these things. So I travel with an A7 III, not an A7 S3, not an A7 R3, but an A7 III. Which is a fantastic camera for value. It does so much, and it's expensive. It's not like an entry level camera, but it's not $5,000 either, like some of these other ones people shoot on. So I have an A7 III. I have a 16-35mm lens, an F4, if people care. And also one thing, there's many more gearheads out there that is a bit unconventional, is I travel with macro lens, a 90mm macro lens, which you might think is very specific, but for me, I absolutely love it because it's very versatile. You can shoot portraits of faces, which is really important. You get really, really nice shots of people and faces. It can zoom in enough so that it's telephoto enough so you can get details, and it's macro so you can get food and hands doing stuff and also insects and whatever else, the small details, the big details. Between those two lenses, I can get a lot of content. On top of that, I have a drone, a DJI Mavic Pro 2 with a big sensor, and I have a couple GoPros and stuff too.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. Last question for you, Mike. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Wow. Living the unconventional life, I think, is extremely accessible to anybody who just likes to ask questions. And I think in this world, if the best thing you can be is curious. And if you are a curious person, you will find yourself an unconventional life, because you'll find a lot of the constructs that we live by fall apart very quickly to questioning. And if you do start asking questions, you'll be able to craft your life in a very interesting way. Again, being curious, I think, is one of the biggest assets. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I love that. Mike, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
Right. I am super excited about this. So I just released a War on Fear bootcamp course because for me, my greatest life mission is just to help people navigate fear. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you hang by hooks or do anything crazy. I'll be the guinea pig to learn more about it. And I'll distill all the lessons down into a course and I will give it to you. It's already live. That's what my content's about, is helping people with fear. So I made it's a 15 video course going through the top tools and tricks and techniques that I've picked up by doing all of these crazy things, then help people navigate the small little fears in their lives. Again, it could be a fear of public speaking. It could be whatever it be, the small little things holding you back. And I really feel that if you do feel stuck in life, fear is most likely the culprit. So in this course, we dive in, we find the little bits and pieces, the roadblocks, we blow them open, we learn about the feelings, we learn about the physiology of fear. We use things like the hero technique and some other principles like the six principles of change to then therefore dig in and find the reason why you're stuck, where the clot is, cut it out, and be a fear fighting badass. That's what the course does.
Yeah.
So it's called the War on Fear Bootcamp, and someone's going to get it for free.
Yeah. What an awesome course and an awesome giveaway. Unconventional Lifers, you can head over to our website at unconventionallifeshow.com to click on the giveaway tab and enter to win that giveaway. And Mike, for those that want to learn more about the course, that also, you know, want to learn more about you, follow along on the YouTube, what's the best place for people to stay in touch and to, you know, check you all out?
Yeah. So everywhere I'm Fearless and Far. My main platforms are YouTube, of course. I post a video or two there every single week. And actually I'm just posting one now of solo camping in an abandoned castle in Romania. So this beautiful hilltop crumbling fortress that I hiked up, and apparently was filled with spirits that didn't want me there. So I read on my way up anyway. But I'm here to tell a tale, so I didn't get thrown off by some vengeful princess ghost. But it's cool. So there's always some interesting travel stuff there. It's not your conventional travel stuff, as we've learned on this podcast. So yeah, Instagram Instagram and YouTube, Facebook as well. But it's all Fearless and Far. And for the course, just type in War on Fear Bootcamp, Fearless and Far, and you'll find it.
Amazing. We'll throw all those links at our show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. Mike, Corey, everyone. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, share your unconventional story. I feel like you might be a part two episode. We'll check in with you next year. Be like, all right, so what's happened since our last conversation?
People can stomach it. And yeah, no, it was my pleasure. It was a great conversation. Thanks, Jules.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone.